Hey there, and welcome back to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, Rick continues in his series called Connecting with God, the Lord's Prayer. In this series, Rick shows us what it means to be truly spiritually connected to God and to each other through the power of God's love and God's Word. I'm so excited to hear what Rick has to say today in part one of a message called The Prayer of Release.
Two of the greatest barriers in your life that keep you from experiencing genuine peace of mind are guilt and resentment. I call them the misery twins. Guilt and resentment do more messing up in your life than anything else. And one of them has to do with when you hurt other people, then you feel guilty. And when other people hurt you, then you feel resentful. The Lord's Prayer deals with both of these issues in a very powerful way. Now, you know we're in this series I'm calling Connecting with God as we go line by line through the Lord's Prayer. And we first looked at Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And that's the prayer of connection. What kind of Father is God really like? And then we talked about thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the prayer of surrender. And it is the antidote to stress. If you're stressed out, you need to go hear that message. And then the next week, give us this day our daily bread, which is the prayer of dependence, which is really the antidote to worry. And if you understand what God has promised to do in your life, you don't have any need to worry. Last week, we looked at what I call the prayer of cleansing, and forgive us our debts, or forgive us our transgressions, or really it just means forgive us our sins. And I gave you a spiritual evaluation tool for you to go home and work on this last week. And we talked about guilt last week. This week, we want to look at what I call the prayer of release, which deals with the other of the misery twins, resentment. And the Bible says this, there on your outline and here on the screen, forgive us our sins, just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. We say, Lord, we want you to forgive us as much as we forgive everybody else. Uh-oh. We need to look at that one. The prayer of release. Now, the fact is, in your life, you're going to be hurt by other people. You've been hurt many times in the past. You're going to be hurt in the future, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. And if you don't learn how to release that hurt, it's going to pile up in your life. And like the garbage of guilt that we talked about last week, your life starts stinking. And if you allow resentment, grudges, anger to build up inside your life, and you don't know how to let it go, you don't know how to get rid of it, it'll poison your spirit inside you. Now, it's one thing to forgive people who just hurt you one time and that's it. But what about repeat offenders who keep doing it over and over and over and over, and they just keep hurting you and hurting you and hurting you? What are you supposed to do with those kind of people? How often am I supposed to forgive somebody who continually keeps on hurting me? Good question. In fact, it was a question that one of Jesus' followers, Peter, the Apostle Peter, asked Jesus 2,000 years ago. There on your outline, it says, Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? He says, up to seven times. Now, we don't really know if Peter actually meant his brother, who, by the way, was named Andrew. But the truth is, about 90% of all resentment starts in the family. Most anger, most resentment happens to the people closest to you because you're in daily contact with them. You know, to dwell above with those we love, that will be a glory. To dwell below with those we know, that's another story. And it is the people around us that we're closest to that often hurt us the most. That's much easier to forgive a one-time offense, but what if my brother keeps on hurting me over and over in the daily contact? I mean, we joke about that, but the truth is, many of you have been deeply hurt, by a family member. Something they said, something they did, physical abuse, verbal abuse, sexual abuse. It may have been in your immediate family. It may have been an uncle or a grandparent or somebody, and you've been deeply hurt by a family member, and you can still remember it today. And Peter's talking about this. He said, how often do I have to keep forgiving my brother? He says, seven times? Now, Peter thinks he's being magnanimous here, because the Jewish law required that you had to forgive a person three times. And after three times, tough luck, buddy. I don't have to forgive you anymore. And so Peter knows that the Jewish law says you got to forgive three times. And so he says, how about I'll double it and I'll throw in for one for good measure. And I'll really impress Jesus. Hey, Lord, how about seven times? And notice Jesus' response, the next verse. Jesus answered, not seven times, but 77 times. Did he really mean 77 times? What's he saying here? The point is, if I'm counting, it's not really forgiveness. He's saying an unlimited number of times. How about 777 times? He's saying you have to keep on. You have to keep on releasing the hurt, and you have to keep on forgiving the offender. And tonight we're going to talk about what that means and what that doesn't mean. But Jesus wanted to clarify this when he said, you just got to keep on forgiving the people in your life. And so he told a story in Matthew chapter 18, which is called the story of the unforgiving servant. And it starts like this up here on the screen. He says, once there was a king who decided to collect on all the debts that his servants owed him. So he began to call them in one at a time, and he asked to be repaid. And he discovered that one of his servants owed him 10,000 talents of money. Now, of course, in those days, they didn't use dollars and cents or yen or Deutschmarks. They were called talents of gold. And he says this one guy owed him 10,000 talents. In today's amount, that would be about $12 million. It's not some little debt here. Okay, he's $12 million in debt. We don't know how he mismanaged it, but it's hopeless. Now, in those days, bankruptcy was really quite simple. And it tells us in the next verse, since his servant did not have enough to pay his great debt, the king ordered him to be sold as a slave, along with his wife and his children and all that he had, in order to repay his debt. In those days, if you went bankrupt, real simple, you just got sold into slavery. You, your wife, your kids, and all your possessions, and you lived in the debtor's house or lived as a servant or a slave the rest of your life. Now, the truth is, this guy's $12 million in debt to his king. It would be impossible for a servant to ever pay off that much money. I mean, think about this, $12 million. Even paying, if the servant could pay $100 a day back, which he would not be able to do, it would take him over 300 years to pay off $12 million. So this is an impossible debt. He needs a bailout. Okay? He needs a serious bailout. And it says here, the servant fell to his knees and he begged Congress. No, I mean begged. And he begged the king, please, sir, be patient with me, and I will pay you back everything I owe. This is really pathetic. The guy's $12 million in debt, $100 a day for 300 years, and he says, give me a few more days. It makes me think of all those movies you've seen where the mob, somebody's in debt to the mob, and they come and they're choking him, and they're about to kill him. He says, give me 24 hours to come up with 50 million bucks. You know, you've seen that in a million different movies. That's what this guy is saying to the king. He says, just give me a little bit more time. A little bit more time is not going to help this guy out. He's hopelessly in debt. But the king notices his plea, and he feels sorry for the servant, and he actually releases him from his debt. He says, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to write it off. I'm going to wipe the slate clean. I'm going to let you off the hook. I'm just going to forgive you, and we're going to just say, account settled. You don't owe me anything. The next verse says in verse 27, the king's heart was moved with compassion, and he released him. That's what we're talking about tonight, the prayer of release. He released him and forgave him, canceling his entire debt. Now, why would anybody do that? Really? Why would anybody just let anybody else off the hook? More important, why must you do that? Why must you let people off the hook who've hurt you deeply and badly, when everything in you wants to hold on to that hurt? Now, God's word gives us three reasons why we have to let go of our hurt, why we have to forgive, why we have to not hold on to our resentment, not to rehearse it over and over, but we've got to release it instead of rehearsing it. There are three reasons. Number one, the first reason is because God forgives me. He has forgiven me many, many times. And so I am to forgive other people. God has forgiven me. Now, in this story that Jesus tells, the king, who represents God, obviously, forgives the servant. In Matthew 18, 27, it says, the servant's master took pity on him, canceled his debt, and let him go. And just as the king canceled the debt of this servant in the story, God sent Jesus Christ to pay for your debt. Everything you've ever done wrong in your life has already been paid for, so you don't have to pay for it. Jesus took your rap. He paid your jail time. He paid your ticket. He took your offense, and he said, I will pay. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus Christ died for all of your sins. Look at these verses up here on the screen. The Bible says, most of us have sinned, yet now... Oh, I didn't misread that, didn't I? It says what? Okay, turn to the person next to you and say, you're included. Okay. All right. So, all of us have sinned, yet now God declares us... Here's the good news. The bad news, we've all sinned. We've all blown it. Nobody bats a thousand. All of us have sinned, yet, here's the good news, now God declares us not guilty. Not guilty of offending him if we trust in Jesus Christ, who freely takes away all of our sins. God has forgiven me. Look at this next verse. You, the Bible says, are a God of forgiveness, always ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, and full of love. This is the meaning of grace. And we talked about this last week when we talked about getting rid of guilt. That when I admit my sin to God, I admit my imperfections and all the things I've done wrong, my rebellion and everything, God says, I'm going to forgive you instantly, and I'm going to forgive you freely, and I'm going to forgive you completely, and I'm going to forgive you repeatedly. Now, the fact is, you owe an enormous debt to God, and you could never repay it back. And God has chosen to wipe out your debt. God has chosen to release you from the things that you owe to him because of your life. Now, let me ask you this. If you were this servant in the story, how would you feel if you were told by somebody you owe $12 million, let's just call it even? Yeah, that's exactly right. Woo-hoo! Exactly right. All right, you get the A. All right. It just means, whoa, I would feel relief, I would feel joy, I would feel gratitude, I would feel energy, I would feel a freedom, I would feel like partying, I would feel like being nice to everybody else, because somebody had just forgiven $12 million of my debt. But that's not what the servant did. In this story, he reacts very differently. In fact, what he does is once he's forgiven, he walks out of the king's presence and he finds a guy who owes him just a little bit of money, not a lot, just a little bit. And he begins to threaten this guy and says, you better pay me back or I'm going to have you thrown in jail. Here's what it says here on the screen. But the servant went out and found a man who owed him 100 denarii. And he grabbed him by the throat and harshly demanded, you must pay me back right now. And the man pleaded, just as the servant had with the king, I promise to pay you back. Just give me some time. This is exactly what he had said to the king. But the unforgiving servant refused, and he had the man thrown in jail. Now, it's interesting. This guy, although he had been forgiven of a $12 million debt, he shows no mercy to a guy who owes him a little bit. By the way, do you know what 100 denarii is? 17 bucks. It's not a whole lot. It's 17 bucks. And he goes to this guy, and he starts grabbing him and choking him in the throat. By the way, Roman law in the Roman Empire allowed you to choke a debtor. You could kind of squeeze it out of them. They were allowed to do that. And pay up now. You're going to pay me right now. Now, why was this guy so harsh? Now, listen, here's the point of the story. Because the guy did not really believe that the king had let him off the hook. He didn't really feel forgiven. He didn't believe he wouldn't have to pay back the $12 million. And so he goes out and foolishly starts trying to get money from everybody else, going, I got to pay that king back somehow because he's going to kill me or whatever. And so he goes out. He did not believe he was forgiven. I want you to write this down. Here's the point. When I feel unforgiven, I am unforgiving. That's what this story is teaching. When I feel unforgiven, I am unforgiving. When I feel ungraced, I am ungracious. When I don't feel released of my mistakes and sins, I certainly don't want to release you of your mistakes. And if I don't feel good about me, I sure don't want you feeling good about you. And the reason why we have such a hard time forgiving other people, we don't feel forgiven. Because if you really felt the weight off your back and forgiven of everything in your life, you'd cut people a whole lot more slack if you really felt forgiven. You see, here's a little insight. When you find anybody who's harsh and judgmental and critical and self-righteous and holds a standard of perfection that even they themselves can't hold up to, and they're just demanding in every sense of the word, you know one thing, they're guilty. They feel guilty. People who are carrying secret guilt take it out on everybody else. And they're always demanding and damning and putting down and judgmental and critical because they don't feel forgiven. The most forgiving people in the world are those who feel the most forgiven. To whom much has been forgiven, they are more forgiving to everybody else. To whom grace has been shown a lot, they are gracious to everybody else. So let me ask you a question. Are you unconsciously trying to repay God? I mean, maybe you are a believer in Jesus Christ, but inside, and you've accepted Christ's salvation, but inside you're kind of going, I'll make it up to the Lord. I'll get back. You don't really feel released. And you're trying to repay God. And you're trying to be good in order to repay God. It ain't going to happen. You're too much in debt. And it's already been forgiven. So what do I need to do instead of trying to get even? Trying to get right, I need to relax. The Bible says this, be kind and compassionate to one another. That means to everybody else. Why? Forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. When you really feel forgiven, you're going to be forgiving. And by the way, you'll never have to forgive anybody else more than God's already forgiven you. So there are three reasons I have to let go of the hurt in my heart, and I have to forgive people when they hurt me. Number one, God has forgiven me, the $12 million debt. Number two, this is a big one, resentment is self-torture. Resentment is self-torture. It is a self-inflicted wound. Whenever you're resentful, whenever you're holding a grudge, whenever you get bitter, it always hurts you more than the person you're bitter against. In fact, they're not even thinking about it. They hurt you in the past. They've forgotten about it. They've gone on with their life. And you're still worrying about something that happened a year ago, 10 years ago, or maybe when you were a child. They're not even thinking about it. Your past is past, and it can't hurt you anymore unless you hold on to it. And if you allow people to hurt you in your past, from your past to continue to hurt you in your present, that's stupid. The people who hurt you in your past, they can't hurt you anymore. The only way they can hurt you is if you hold on to the hurt. And holding on to the hurt is called resentment. And it always hurts you. It's self-torture. Job says this in Job chapter 5, verse 2, to worry yourself to death with resentment. In other words, I wish they hadn't done that, and I'm so mad at them, it would be a foolish, senseless thing to do. It doesn't work. Resentment is self-torture. You're only hurting yourself. You know, in this story that Jesus told, when the king hears about this servant who he's forgiven $12 million, and it's reported to him that he's out choking people over $17, he is furious. The king is ticked. He is livid. And he has this servant come back in before him. And here's what he says, "You contemptible and wicked servant, I forgave and released you," this is the prayer of release, "and I canceled your great debt. Shouldn't you have shown mercy and released your debtor just as I did with you?" And in wrath, the king sent him to the jailers to be tortured in the torture chamber. Now, this is really interesting. The word jailers there in Greek is the word basanos tasse. Basanos tasse in Greek. And it literally means torturers. And he says, okay, if that's the way you're going to be grabbing everybody else and choking them by the throat after I've forgiven you all that, $12 million, okay, let the guy be tortured. What's the point of the story? Resentment is torture. It hurts you on the inside. When you get resentful, when you carry bitterness in your heart, it is an emotional Abu Ghraib. It is a prison that's going to torment you, and it's a self-imposed prison. Nobody else is making you miserable. You're making yourself miserable because you won't let that hurt go. You keep holding on to it and nursing it and grudging it and say, I'll never forgive, and on, and it torments your mind, and it tortures your body, and it eats away at you like a cancer. Resentment is far worse than cancer. It'll eat you alive. Cancer can be cured. But resentment can until you let it go and destroys your peace and happiness. Fact is, it can actually even make you sick. I read this medical study published in Heart Circulation magazine, reported that people who carry resentment, listen to this, if you're mad at somebody and you won't let them off the hook, you're in trouble physically. People who carry resentment are twice as likely to have a stroke. Twice as likely to have a stroke, three times more likely to have a heart attack, or three times more likely to have bypass surgery, and four times more likely to have unhealthy levels of cholesterol. What's he saying there in that study? He's saying it's not what you eat, it's what eats you. That's what's making you sick. You say, well, that burns me up. Well, it is. It's burning you up on the inside. In another study, Stanford researchers linked carrying a grudge to higher levels of diabetes and carrying a grudge to higher levels of cancer. And here was the direct quote. There is an enormous physical cost to holding on to anger. You weren't made by God to carry resentment around in your heart. That's why the Bible says this up here on the screen. Some men stay happy until the day they die, and others have no happiness at all. They live and die with bitter hearts. So let me ask you, what hurtful memory are you holding on to? What is it, what memory tortures you every time you think about it? That person who hurt you and you're still mad at them, And what is it that every time you think about it, it torments you, it tortures you? Friends, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. You got to let it go. You got to learn how to pray the prayer of release. Forgive us our debts as we forgive. Everybody's indebted to us, everybody who's hurt us, everybody who's been mean to us. I have to learn to forgive because God has forgiven me and because resentment is self-torture.
You know, sometimes the most important role you can play in the life of a child is teaching them to trust God through prayer. Yeah, we believe it's the key to living with hope. Jesus said this, "We should always pray and never give up." That's why it's so important to strengthen the hope of children by introducing them to Jesus' model for prayer at a very early age. So now, we're so excited to tell you about a very special resource to help you do just that. It's called The Lord's Prayer, Words of Hope and Happiness. This book brings the poetic scripture from the King James Version alive for readers young and old. And you'll find thoughtful insights from New York Times bestselling author, Pastor Rick Warren, and stunning illustrations by award-winning artist, Richard Jesse Watson. This will become a meaningful bedtime ritual, a treasured memory, and a lasting legacy that bears good fruit for generations to come. Be sure to request your copy of the book, The Lord's Prayer, Words of Hope and Happiness, today when you give a gift to help take the life-transforming Word of God to the world through Daily Hope. This is our way of saying thanks so much for your support of this ministry. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. And thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope really helps us share the hope of Christ with people all over the world. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.